shall be named. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems from your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Power and glory, for your love is better than life. My lips shall ever praise you, and I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands calling on your name.
Background, some of you may come from a Catholic background, some of you may come from a Lutheran background, where the liturgy is very high, and they you know, believe in just in so. And as Methodists, we don't believe exactly that, but I'm just going to give a really broad overview. Where does the Lord's Supper come from? What are the practical implications for us? Growing up, for me, it was just a ritual. It didn't mean anything. It meant that, but for me as a child, what it meant was that I could just sit on the floor in the choir while my mom was in the choir, and I just got to lay on the floor and play. Honestly, that's really all that it meant for me. But as I've gotten older, I've just kind of come to the realization of just how powerful it really, really is. And so it's more than just an intellectual nod of, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but what does it really mean? So that's what we're going to look at today. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says something fascinating to the disciples. And not 12, it's Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. He's been with the disciples this is the third time that they would have had Passover together. But in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, Jesus says this to his disciples. Luke 22, I'm going to start in verse 14. When the hour came, he reclined at a table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Earnestly desire. It's interesting language that Jesus would say right there. I earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? A few weeks ago, I taught on the Passover. I'm not going to go into depth in that again. But where does Passover come from? If you go back to Exodus chapter 12, the children of the Hebrews are in slavery. God calls Moses to come and set him free. There's been all of these plagues. God has hardened Pharaoh's heart. But he instructs them to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the lintel and the doorpost, because there's death that's going to come. But if you have the blood of this lamb on your doorpost and lintel, that the spirit of death is going to pass by. Exodus chapter 12. Start in verse 13. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. That was the institution of the Lord's Supper. You will keep this festival forever. It shall be a memorial to you. Jesus comes down the third Passover that he had celebrated with the disciples, and he said, on this one, I have earnestly desired to eat this meal, to celebrate the Passover with you. And it's at that Passover, that particular one, that Jesus says this. He says, he takes the bread, the unleavened bread, and he said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when you take the cup, that was part of the Passover, when you take the cup, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for me for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Whoa. The magnitude of that. Jesus is saying this Passover, this has been a memorial that was set up in Exodus chapter 12. I am the fulfillment of that. What I'm getting ready to do and go to the cross is the fulfillment of that. It's powerful. And he says this blood of the new covenant, the Passover is the old covenant, following the law, being moral. But the new covenant is believing in me. And in the old covenant, you had the laws and regulations, and you tried hard to fulfill it. In the new covenant, you believe in me, and I've given you a new heart, and I've given you the power to fulfill all the commands through the power of my Spirit. It's a new covenant. It's profound, and it's powerful what Jesus is doing there when he says what he says about Passover and him being the fulfillment of that. So the first thing I want you to know about the Lord's Supper is there's salvation in it. It's more than just saying, yes, Lord. Okay, yes, I believe that you're the Son of God. It's more than that. It is an allegiance. It's saying, God, I align myself with you. I believe you. It's a total commitment, and it's a total surrender. It's more than just saying yes with your head. It's saying yes with everything I have. It's Romans 12, 1 through 3, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Jesus. It's a total surrender. And you all, it's an encounter. It's a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. It's more than just a coming to church on Sunday. I saw a quote this week by, oh my goodness, did I forget to put his name on here? I did. No, it's Chris Burns. He's a worship leader, and he's a preacher. I just want to read to you what he said, because it's so profound, and it's so good. He says, we've created a religion of the presence of God where we allow him close enough to give us goosebumps, but not enough to shape and form us into Christ. We are experts at getting into God's presence. So we come to church, we do things, but we're novices in letting God into our presence. We are fine if he comes inside our allotted worship times, but we carefully guard the rest of our lives once worship is over. Wow. We're good at getting into the presence of God, but we're novices of letting him into our presence. Being a Christian is being aware of Jesus' presence all the time. And it's not like we're going to be praying or we're going to be, but it's just living. It's the whole thing with abiding, living and abiding in Jesus. It's not us running around trying to control everything, control everybody, worrying and fretting. No, it's resting in him. We have died, but Christ is alive in us. If we really take the Lord's Supper at what it really, really means, his body broken, Lord, we take you in, we need you, you are our life. Lord, your blood poured out, that we're forgiven, and walking in that, that's what being a Christian is. It's one moment in time where we say, yes, Lord, but then it's living it out daily, moment by moment by moment, walking with him, being filled with the Spirit, walking with him. An encounter. It's an allegiance. It's following him. Letting him breathe life into us. Letting him breathe life into us. Letting him just comfort us. Being aware and just inviting, Lord, I need you. I need you. Fill me. Shine through me. It's no longer, Paul writes, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what being a Christian is. That's what the Lord's Supper is about. It's about living in him. Everything he died to give us. Forgiveness, healing, life. In Luke, wasn't going to share this until I got up to preach, so I don't know if I can find the references here. So just be patient with me for just a second. In Luke, there are three different stories. And they're very, very different stories. There is the raising of Jairus' daughter. There's a little girl that's dead. And it's the woman with the issue of blood. And it's the man that has gone just completely crazy. He's in the tombs and he's cutting himself. And in all three of those stories, it says that they were delivered, or they were healed, or they were saved. That little Greek word for all three of those, it's the same Greek word. It's the little Greek word sozo. And to be saved means to be delivered. To be saved means healed. Your healing and your forgiveness to God, it was all paid for on the cross. And we get satisfied with just a little bit of Jesus, but he wants to give us so much more. And we just yield to him and say, Jesus, I want everything that you died to give me. Everything you died to give me. You need deliverance? It's in Jesus. You need forgiveness of sins? It's in Jesus. Do you need healing? It's in Jesus. Do you need just him to comfort you? It's in him. All found in him. It's all part of being a Christian and walking with Jesus. The first thing it means, Lord's Supper, the living relationship with him. It's an encounter with him. It's aligning yourself with him. You know what the second thing that means, the Lord's Supper? It means that we are doing our very best to live in a right relationship with other people. In Matthew chapter 6, I wish Jesus hadn't said this. It's a tough scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. He says, if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And as we take the Lord's Supper, and it's repeated, I'm going to share it in a minute, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that if we take the Lord's Supper, but we are still harboring bitterness and anger and resentment, and we're still just, you know, we hate other people, no, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And as we've been looking at 1 John says that if you say you love God but you hate your brother, you lie and the truth is not in you. And first of all, we need to be honest. If there's anger and bitterness, resentment, and there are people that we hate them, and you think about somebody, you can just feel yourself kind of bristle. You need to get on your face before the Lord and say, Father, help me. And you will never be asked to forgive more than what you have been forgiven of. And that's why the commands are so, Jesus, he's just, you can't get beyond it. Matthew chapter 6, you don't forgive your brothers and sisters, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Well, what do you do? What do you do? Say there's hatred and you just are really, really struggling. You need to get honest. Say, Lord, there is hatred in my heart. There is bitterness in my heart. And I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to cleanse me. And I ask you to help me. Lord, help me. Help me to love and help me to forgive. And it's a choice. Y'all, it's not a feeling. It's a choice. I choose to forgive them. All that I feel like they owe me, Lord, I just let it go. And it's a choice. And there have been people in my life that I've really struggled to forgive. And sometimes in the heat of that, when I was really going through it a lot, I would have to multiple times a day say, nope, I choose to forgive them. And the enemy's going to try to come and plant those seeds of bitterness, because if he can keep us in that kind of state, he's got you. Because there's no life, there's no joy, there's no peace in that. And so he's always going to try to plant seeds of bitterness. And so when you make that choice, he's going to come against your heart, and he's going to replay what that person did. And just like, no, it's a choice. Nope, I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them. And that's where it starts. That's where it starts. And so as we encounter him, and we are filled with his love, and we receive his forgiveness, it's out of that that we're able to love other people. We're able to love people that we don't like. We're able to love people that irritate us. We're able to love people that we disagree with. We encounter Jesus, number one. And we celebrate that in the Lord's Supper. And we deal with our attitudes and people that have hurt us in the Lord's Supper as well. It's a time to let things go. To let things go. And ask the Lord to begin, just, Lord, help me forgive. Help me heal. There are some things that some of you have gone through that it's going to take time, and that's okay. There are some things that have happened to you that you'll never be able to forget, and that's okay. But the choice of revenge and anger, you have to let it go. Because Jesus said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Every injustice, God will make it right. He will. Lord's Supper without talking about this. This is one of those passages that's really tough, but the point is in loving each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. And in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." What? What is Paul saying there? What is he saying? When we take the Lord's Supper, we don't get drunk. We don't argue. We don't push, we don't pull, I want to be first, and kind of push other people out of the way. We don't do that. And Paul's addressing what they were doing in meals. But the point here is that if we continue to take the Lord's Supper and all we're thinking about is ourselves and it doesn't have any effect on those around us, we could be drinking and eating judgment on ourselves. Taking the Lord's Supper is very serious in that we need to be aware of our relationships. And again, dealing with hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness in our own heart. And it's not hard. It just requires being honest. And it requires you just humbling yourself and saying, "Lord, help me with that issue." Because we don't want to drink judgment on ourselves. And he's pretty bold. People have died at the Church of Corinth because they've taken the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So just search your heart if there are any of those issues, anger, hatred, bitterness. So the Lord's Supper is an encounter with him. It's searching our heart and our relationships. Are we in a right relationship? Do we need to just do business with the Lord? Do we need attitudes in our own heart? And the third thing about the Lord's Supper is we remember that we're part of a body. And that's what Paul is saying here as well. We need to think about other people. We need to be sensitive to the needs of other people. We need to remember that we are part of the body. In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer there says, remember those in prison like you are one of them, since you also are in the body. That's Hebrews chapter 13. I'll go ahead and read the verses that come before it, because it fits. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. That we're together. We are the body of Christ. We're a local body of believers. We don't all agree. We're very, very different people. But if we believe in Jesus, we're all one body. And we're joined with the body of believers around the world. And so we need to remember our brothers and sisters in China says, it's verse 9, but I'm going to go back and read verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. That we're part of a body of Christ. That we're together. The only prayer that Jesus prayed protection, you know what it was for? It was for unity in the body. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to love as he loves. He wants us to take the love and forgiveness that we've received from him and show it and shower it with those around us. And to remember those around the world, our brothers and sisters that are undergoing the same things as us. We're not alone. We're not alone. We're not alone. So today, as we take the Lord's Supper, if you need to know the Lord loves you, how many of you would just like a reassurance of the Lord's love today? I would. How many of you would like just to know, Lord, just the peace of God to come? Yeah. Yes. We can encounter that in him. You need forgiveness of sins? We all need that. joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy,
holy, holy,
holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts, in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we, listen to this, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all of the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let's take the bread. Lord, we thank you for your body broken. That means abundant life. And Lord, where we need life in our body, where there's dying, where there's sickness, where, Lord, we just need you. Lord, we just take that now. We say, Jesus, be for us life. We take it, Lord, and we receive it by faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Shake up your cup. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood that forgives, the blood that heals, the blood that redeems. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, God. Thank you. Just receive your forgiveness of sins. Lord, we let people go that have hurt us. We choose to forgive them in Jesus' name. Lord, we just receive your life and your healing and forgiveness. Drink, receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're going to stand and sing "Because He Lives." Jesus died on the cross. His blood was poured out. He's resurrected. Lives in us, and he wants to shine through us to a lost and dying world. Let's sing this, "Because He Lives."
Thank you.
fresh revelation of who you are, Jesus, the worthy one, the holy one, the one that sits enthroned, the one, Lord, who still bears scars because of your love for us. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we may know the hope to which you've called us, the riches of your inheritance in the saints, and the power for those of us who believe. That's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Fill us up, God. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. May we overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit so we can be your vessels of love, your vessels of hope, your vessels of peace to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name.